You remember the fairy tales that you grew up with, or perhaps you used to read to your children, or still do to your children or grandchildren? Hansel and Gretel, where having been tempted by a house made of candy, two children lock a woman in her own oven and roast her to death. Or Little Red Riding Hood, where at the end a woodcutter disembowels a wolf and disgorges grandma. Or Sleeping Beauty, where a woman falls asleep for so long that all of her family and friends die. And in the end, the only person there for her is someone who kisses her without her consent. Okay, these may be bad summaries of popular fairy stories, but they do sum up some of the deeper and less talked about parts of the stories that we have inherited from generations before, which have been handed down in Western society for many generations, and which every culture, including our own indigenous, including the indigenous cultures of these islands and inlets where we live, have their own versions of. And for those of us who grew up in the church, we have our own versions of these fairy tales, though we often call them myths. And they have a certain ambiguity of their own. There's the story of the mass extinction through flood, where only a handful of people survive and a few animals because of a big boat. There's a story of a man being tested by God with no explanation by being asked to sacrifice his only son, and who is only spared at the last moment by a ram caught in the thickets. Or there's a small shepherd boy who faced a giant, who was too small for the king's armor, and defeats the giant by bashing his brains in with a rock and decapitating him. Yes, that's a very particular way of looking at them, but it's not a completely unfair one. A story of David and Goliath is often told to children just like the story of the Ark, just like the story of Abraham, with all these seemingly disturbing parts simply not noticed or deliberately ignored. Yet these stories, both our scriptural myths and the fairy stories of different cultures, are told with deliberate depth, with the interplay of light and shadow, with the disturbing and the inspiring woven together, because that's who we are as human beings. That's who we are as human society. We are not one thing or another. And despite what some say, we are not binary. We contain masculine and feminine, each one of us to differing degrees. Each one of us is on a spectrum of sexuality. Every one of us have preferred ways in which we engage with the world, touch or taste or smell or hearing or sight or more, and each have our preference there. Some learn through reading. Some learn through doing. Some learn through hearing. Some learn through movement. Some through pictures. Some of us like musical theater more than we like grindcore metal, or folk more than we like pop music. And our stories reflect our nuanced, varied, multifaceted world and ways of being, whether they be products of our cultures or of the writings we hold sacred. Sometimes these stories are, by our standards, morally ambiguous, even repellent. Some challenge us, some inspire, some disturb. These stories point to different parts of what it means to be human. They explore the light and the darkness within us. And it's important, I think, here to make a point of saying that I don't talk of light and dark with a moral weighting, that one is good and one is bad. Both are a part of who we are. In the acts of colonization, light and dark were often used as negatives and positive, negative dark, positive light, which is why many of the colonized nations were described by the British Empire as the darker nations. But that is not what we are as human beings. There are in every spiritual translation, every spiritual tradition, times when light is celebrated and other times when darkness is seen as a blessing. We often use darkness as a shorthand for that which we do not wish to face, perhaps because it shows us what we do not wish to see. But it is a part of who we are as human beings, the interplay of light and shadow, of color and shade. All this is that of which we are made. In the stories we have today, both in our Hebrew scriptures and in our gospel reading, and reflected in our New Testament lesson from 2 Corinthians, we have stories of fear and courage together, of hope and despair, of the things which we have to face, of the giants who stand before us and the storms which threatened to engulf us. We are called here and now together in community and as individuals to consider how these stories might comfort and inspire, challenge and encourage us in this time and in this place. These stories written so long ago and so familiar with us, familiar to us that perhaps we get used to just hearing them as stories, like the fairy tales of our childhood, they exist instead as more than that, to cause us to ask questions and to cause us to question ourselves. Those questions will perhaps change for us depending on when we hear the stories, what is happening in the world around us, and what we are experiencing and feeling and fearing. These two mythic stories we heard today, David and Goliath and the stilling of the storm on the Sea of Galilee, speak to me about fear and trust, hope and identity. Now I'm only going to give you in this next few moments my thinkings on them. Not any kind of definitive explanation or the sole interpretation, but something that I hope we all can use to get our spiritual juices flowing, even if it's to consider how these might speak differently to you, to us as community, in another way from what I am suggesting. Starting with the storm story. The writers want us to see, to understand, something of Jesus' authority. That he somehow speaks with a knowledge and an understanding of the world that they have not seen elsewhere. There's a deep link with the created world that even the wind and the waves obey him. But perhaps, again, in mythic language, it's speaking to us more of how connected Jesus is to the earth. Something I have learned from the indigenous peoples of these lands. It seems much more that the storm that Jesus is stilling is within the fearful disciples, afraid of the power of the elements, afraid of death. To this, Jesus speaks words of calm. Peace. Be still. Which raises the question for me, what are the storms we are afraid of as individuals and as community? What is the death that we are facing or the deaths that we are facing? If like any good fairy tale, this story is calling us to examine those things which make us feel uncomfortable, what is it that we are afraid of? Are we fearful of the world outside? The brokenness we see, the polarization, the division, the re-emergence of hate speech and prejudice? Is it the climate crisis that our children and our grandchildren will face and that we face here and now? Is it those who hang around Pandora and indeed outside our own church? People who are different from us with their own struggles, with trauma, mental health difficulties, self-medicating through substance use, wrestling with poverty. People who are unpredictable, sometimes angry, who are scary. Is it the future of the church? Is it the future of this church? And what will happen to us and to this building? Is it something that we should note whenever we observe Indigenous Day or Truth and Reconciliation Day, or observe Indigenous History Month as this is, the truth of the shameful history of the Church towards the First Peoples of these lands and other lands, not just the Anglican Church or the Roman Catholic Church or the Presbyterian Church or whatever, but the whole cultural attitude that became tied up with the kind of Christendom which saw the mission of the Church as one of cultural superiority coming from Western tradition and sought to wipe out the original culture of the Indigenous peoples. It may be that the storms we feel within are reactions to all or some or none of these things. These stories may lead you in a different direction. It may be that we feel that these things are not so much storms within as giants without that we have to face, and we wonder how we are to do so. The stories also offer options. We can armor up. We can protect ourselves with outsized chainmail and outdated weapons. We can, with our siblings in faith, trust in the work of the divine and remember that our ways are not God's ways. These stories give us something to aspire to, an attitude to emulate, and hope that faith can free us to face our fears, the giants without and the storms within, and be led to do great things. If we learn to trust in God and in one another, and if we listen together, we will hear the command of Christ to those things which cause us fear. Peace, be still. I worked hard on how I would end this sermon, and there is no ending to this grappling and this wrestling. Some of you might say it feels like there's no ending to any of my sermons, but that's another thing altogether. But as I heard again just now those words from 2 Corinthians, I was reminded of the words of comfort that finished it. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Maybe St. John the Divinians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections. May we too, despite the storms and the giants, know the peace that allows us to keep our hearts wide open with no restriction in our affection. Amen.